Right now, many churches are planning their budgets for the next fiscal year. You can promote your confessional Lutheran church and support the worldwide outreach of Issues Etc. by joining our congregational sponsorship program, the Issues Etc. 300. We're looking for 300 congregations to include $1,000 in their mission or advertising budgets. You'll find an informational flyer on the support page at issuesetc.org. Don't miss your congregation's budget deadline, the Issues Etc. 300.
Tolerance, tolerance, tolerance. It is the supreme virtue among all other virtues. And if you think about it, it makes sense. If you don't believe that there's truth, then you have to be able to tolerate anybody and everybody who believes something differently than you.
Why doesn't the devil tempt people to swear by using the word Allah? Why would he waste his time on an idol? Allah doesn't exist, but Jesus Christ does.
No one goes to hell because we were bad at evangelism. No one goes to hell because we didn't tell them about Jesus. All of the elect will be in heaven. And no one goes to heaven either because of our efforts.
This is John in Michigan, and as a Lutheran high school teacher, I love listening to and using Issues Etc. in my classroom.
In the course of today's program, we're going to be spending some time with Pastor Chris Rosebro talking about a very common thing in Pop American Christianity, that is the preaching of opinion rather than of Scripture. I think you could probably... You probably figure out what's going on Sunday to Sunday if you listen to your preacher and listen for those words like, I think, I suppose, I don't think, I believe, rather than thus saith the Lord, or this is what Scripture says, the text says. We're going to be talking about that during This Week in Pop American Christianity, a little bit later here on Issues Etc. Greetings and welcome. We're coming to you live from the studios of Lutheran Public Radio in Collinsville, Illinois. I'm Todd Wilkin. Thanks for tuning us in. In the meantime, it's listener email and the Issues Etc. comment line. We'll be responding to your email, your comments, and your show suggestions, all the things that come over the email via that email address, talkback@issuesetc.org. Then Pastor Chris Rosebro joins us for This Week in Pop American Christianity, preaching opinions rather than Scripture, and it's time after that to play Issues Etc. soundbite of the week. We'll have our four soundbites ready to go to play for you. And once you've heard them, you need to give us a call, 1-877-623-6943, 877-623-MYIE. Send us an email, talkback@issuesetc.org, a tweet at issuesetc, or go and vote at our Facebook fan page where we've left space for you to do so, facebook.com/issuesetc. We'll be playing Issues Etc. soundbite of the week in the last 25 minutes of the program today. I mentioned the email address, talkback@issuesetc.org. We'll be responding to some email. Also, the Issues Etc. comment line, that number, 618-223-8382. It's always open for all of our listeners for any reason, day or night. You give us a call, show suggestion, criticism, question, want to add something to a conversation you've been listening to on demand, 618-223-8382. Speaking of the comment line, let's begin with some criticism about something I said last time we were responding to listener email about pastors as leaders.
Hi, good afternoon. I am someone who grew up Roman Catholic and recently converted to the Lutheran Church Missouri Synod along with my wife and 9-year-old son, and we're very happy to do that. Listening to the show, and I felt this way several times, but more so than ever today, there was a question about the new model of church leadership that was, I guess, taken as far as the moderators of the show. I took that question and responded to it, and I just wanted to call and give my humble opinion. I don't have an issue with the, I guess, view that the moderators have of that model, but the way that it was answered, and really the way that this moderator answers many questions, was so much bitterness and so much anger, calling it dumb, talking about how irritated he is by it. The tone of his voice is just really, it's a turnoff. As someone who listens to this channel to try to strengthen his faith and his faith journey, I understand that I'm not naive that everything is rainbows and cupcakes in the Christian world, and obviously Christianity was a revolutionary idea that was fought for and died for by many. I get that. But, you know, in the day and age when we're trying to draw people into Christianity and not be so, and I think Luther would be this way, not be so set in our ways and so stayed and true to tradition. I understand that the moderator said it was biblical, but that's his interpretation of it, and I feel like it could be debated. And long story short, I just think that if this individual is the spokesman for people coming to the Lutheran Church, then we're in a sorry state. Anyway, that's my view, and I will continue to listen. Hopefully, we'll see some other moderators that maybe are more open to discussion and debate. Thank you.
And thank you for the criticism. First of all, I am no spokesman for Lutheranism in the official sense whatsoever. I am a pastor in the Lutheran Church Missouri Synod, so take that for what it's worth. But this show does not claim to speak for the Lutheran Church Missouri Synod or for Lutheranism in general. The question that was raised there was raised by a listener about the adoption of a new model ship, a model for pastors, which is pastors as leaders rather than pastors. You can't have both. It's that simple. You either have the biblical model that Jesus establishes for his pastors, those who are to go and preach and administer the sacraments, whose primary responsibility is to be servants of the word, servants of God's people through that word and those sacraments, to do that humble service that the church calls them to do, that Christ has called them to do through the church. Either you have that Christ-given model of what the pastor is, or you're going to go do something else. You will depart from what Scripture has given the church by way of pastors. It's that simple. The pastoral office isn't something that the church invented for its own convenience. It's not something the church can reinvent or redefine. And the leadership model for pastors redefines what a pastor is radically. It dispenses with what Christ gives as central to the pastoral office, which is humble servant of God's people through the word and sacraments, and replaces it with leader, visionary leader, a guy who, instead of simply serving God's people with Christ's word and sacraments, he now leads with his own visions. Those are two completely and utterly different things. One is biblical. One is purely man-made. The leadership model is a man-made model for pastors. So which do you want? The pastoral office as Christ gave it, or the pastoral office as those bright lights and gurus in the church today think that they can improve upon what Christ gave? Now, you said something about it being tradition. The pastoral office isn't tradition. It's something that Christ himself instituted. Really, I advise you, you talk about having come to the Lutheran Church Missouri Synod, I'm very glad to hear that, go talk to your pastor about this and ask him, what does the Lutheran Church Missouri Synod, what do Lutherans teach and believe and confess about the pastoral office? And it's not going to be vision, casting, leadership. It isn't. That works great in business. That works great if you're a football coach. But that is not what Christ has given to the church when he gave the office of pastors. A simple principle I like to think about on this. When people attempt to rewrite the pastor's job description, they inevitably rewrite Jesus' job description. Because the pastoral office as Christ gave it is nothing other than his office. As the Father sent me, so I send you. Those men are to go and do precisely what Christ did. They are to do nothing more than say what Christ says, do what Christ did, speak what Christ speaks. None of their own ideas, none of their own visions, none of their own plans, only what Christ has given them to do. And the two are intimately connected. A church that thinks it can improve upon what Jesus gave by way of the pastoral office and rewrites the pastor's job description will inevitably rewrite Jesus' job description too. If they want a vision-casting leader instead of a pastor, a shepherd, someone who is laying down his life for the church, and instead they want vision casting leaders, then their Jesus will inevitably become a vision casting leader and not a pastor, a shepherd, someone who lays down his life for the church.
But isn't there a sense, even biblically and historically, where a pastor leads by example, or a pastor leads the church history by being the first one to be persecuted?
Sure. Yeah, all of that goes together with that. This is, again, following Christ's example. Christ goes before his church into suffering and the cross, and then he calls the church to follow him there. This is the other thing that is really diabolical about the vision casting leader model for pastors in the church today, is the vision doesn't usually include going and suffering. It didn't usually include the cross. It usually includes things like bigger, better buildings and more numbers that we can boast about and all those kinds of things. Something quite foreign to what Christ was all about. So Jesus calls the church to come and follow him to the cross. That's his vision. His vision is his cross. And if you're in one of those churches where the pastor says, you know, I'm no longer your shepherd. I'm not here to feed you with the word of God. Look, if you want an example of this, Bill Hybels, who invented the leadership model, he has leadership institutes where a lot of these Lutheran pastors get these bad ideas, or as I said before, dumb ideas. He flat out told his congregation about 5 years ago, you guys want me to feed you with God's word? Talk about getting cranky. He got cranky. He said, I'll feed them so much with God's word till it's coming out their nose. He was irritated that his people there at Willow Creek wanted to be fed on God's word by a shepherd. And he essentially said, I'm not your shepherd. In effect, he said, I'm not your pastor. There's an example of someone who doesn't want to be what Christ has called a man to be, a humble shepherd feeding God's flock, but wants to be something else. And when he does that, he simply ceases to be what Christ has called him to be. He's no longer faithful to what Christ has called him to be. We're going through listener email and the Issues Etc. comment line live this Friday, September the 9th. When we come back, we'll get to some of your email. A lot of questions there to be answered. A little bit later, Pastor Chris Roseborough will join us. This Week in Pop American Christianity, preaching opinions rather than scripture.
Assistance. If this all confuses you, so tell me why.
Emily finally had to face the truth. Her church choir was a mess.
Katie Schuerman, reading from her new audiobook, House of Living Stones.
Sure, they'd managed to turn out a few decent choral offerings for Sunday worship every now and then, but their confidence and morale were presently hanging lower than pants on a wrapper.
You can purchase and download an audio version of the novel House of Living Stones at Amazon, Audible, and iTunes. House of Living Stones by Katie Schuerman.
Have you been too busy to get your associate's, bachelor's, or master's degree? Concordia University, Wisconsin offers 50 online educational options. Find out more at issuesetc.org. Click the Concordia University online logo and enter the program code ISSUES to waive your application fee. Concordia University, Wisconsin is here to strengthen and support the church. Lifelong Lutheran learning. issuesetc.org and click Concordia University, Wisconsin online.
We're churchmen, not company men. You're listening to Issues Etc.
Thanks to the following congregations for standing with us by joining the Issues Etc. 300. Trinity Lutheran, Brooklyn, New York. Hope Lutheran, Birmingham, Alabama. Our Savior Lutheran, Paradise, California. St. John Lutheran, Ray, Michigan. Peace with Christ Lutheran, Fort Collins, Colorado. Shepherd of the Hills Lutheran, Kimberling City, Missouri. The Lutheran Church of Our Savior, Salinas, California. St. John's Lutheran, Algoma, Wisconsin, and St. John's Lutheran, Colton, California. Find out how your church can support this worldwide outreach by including Issues Etc. in your mission or advertising budget. Just go to our website, issuesetc.org, click support, and print a one-page flyer.
When your congregation joins the Issues Etc. 300, we'll publicize your congregation on the radio, at our website, and in the Issues Etc. Journal. IssuesETC.org and click support. The Issues Etc. 300. Welcome back to Issues Etc. I'm Todd Wilkin. We're going through listener email and the Issues Etc. comment line. Speaking of pastors, I was talking about pastors before the break. A special thanks to Pastor John Berg and Hope Lutheran Church in Fremont, California. They recently joined our congregational sponsorship program, the Issues Etc. 300. Most churches are going to be putting together their budgets this fall for 2017. That means right now they're making the decisions about what's going to go into their budget or be left out of their budget. Please consider supporting the worldwide outreach of Issues Etc. and promote your confessional Lutheran congregation by including Issues Etc. in your congregation's mission or advertising budget. You'll find an informational flyer under the support page at our website, issuesetc.org, the Issues Etc. 300. What's our email? Let's get into some of that.
This is Lisa. She listens in New York State. She said, I listened to Pastor Brian Wolfmiller's discussing his book, Has American Christianity Failed? At one point, he spoke of the resurrection and rapture. It sounded like the two events were being explained as the same event. Did I understand his point accurately? It would not surprise me at all. Everything I learned as an American evangelical was wrong. Would describing the resurrection as the promise of God and the rapture being caught up in the air with Jesus on the last day be defined as the how it will be done? Thanks for the email, and thanks for listening in New York, Lisa.
Okay, it's an excellent question, and I think you did hear Pastor Wolfmiller correctly. He was describing what evangelicals usually describe as the rapture as the resurrection, because they are, in fact, one in the same event. They are a simultaneous event. Now, to find the scripture that he was referring to, and the scripture to which also evangelicals refer, he's going to that description of Christ's second coming that you find in 1 Thessalonians chapter 4. Paul is trying to assure the Thessalonians that everything's going to be okay, that they have not been left behind, a la some sort of early dispensational theology. But that, in fact, Christ, just as he promised at his ascension, he would return again, just as he came, just as he promised he would return, he is going to return. And he puts some details on it, but they're not details that you can't find elsewhere in the Bible. All he's doing is compiling together really what Scripture says about the second coming of Christ into one place there in 1 Thessalonians 4, beginning at verse 13. But I do not want you to be uninformed, brothers, about those who are asleep, that is, those who have died, that you may not grieve as others do who have no hope. For since we believe that Jesus died and rose again, even so, through Jesus, God will bring with him those who have fallen asleep. What's he talking about there? He's talking about the resurrection. For this we declare to you by a word of the Lord, so he's not making this stuff up, that we who are alive, who are left until the coming of the Lord, will not precede those who have fallen asleep. For the Lord himself will descend from heaven with a cry of command, with the voice of an archangel, and with the sound of a trumpet of God. Now notice there, for those who teach a secret rapture that's going to occur, no one knows it's going to happen, it's going to be really hard to keep it a secret with a cry of command, the voice of the archangel, and the trumpet of God. I interviewed Tim LaHaye, the recently late Tim LaHaye, several years ago, and asked him about this, and he said, "Well, yeah, it's you got to be tuned into the right frequency to hear these things. It'll be loud for Christians, but the rest of the world isn't going to notice that it happened." That was the verbal gymnastics he had to go through in order to keep the rapture secret. When in Paul's words here, it's hardly secret; it's the least secret thing in all of human history—the return of Christ. And then Paul goes on. And the dead in Christ will rise first. He is talking about the resurrection at Christ's return. And then we who are alive, who are left, will be caught up together with them in the clouds to meet the Lord in the air. And so we will always be with the Lord. That's Paul. What is he describing? Is he describing, as evangelicalism often asserts, a secret rapture? No, hardly secret. something that happens before the return of Christ? No. It is quite clear that this is the return of Christ. Something that happens apart from the resurrection of all flesh? No. He talks about those who have fallen asleep are going to be raised. He's talking about the second coming of Jesus Christ. There is a rapture. For those who are still alive at Christ's return, they will be lifted up to meet Christ in the air, and they will be resurrected without dying, transformed, as Paul will describe elsewhere in one of his epistles. We will be changed in the twinkling of an eye to be like Christ. So the resurrection occurs for everybody. Some will be dead when they're raised, and others will be alive when they're raised, those who are still alive at Christ's return. But it's all one event. The problem with dispensationalism is it wants to keep the rapture secret because in order to carry out its theological plan for history, it has to get the church off the earth so that God can deal with national Israel. They have to have a secret rapture for Christians only. And so they invent this idea of a pre-return return of Christ. He comes halfway, he gets his Christians, he takes them off the earth. And then God deals with national Israel, which was what he wanted to do all along. The church was just kind of a plan B. And if you look at dispensational theology, the real heart of it, when it replaces Christ with Israel as the center of all salvation history, it also makes Jesus' death and resurrection God's plan B too. Wasn't really supposed to happen. God had to do it. And then he had this pesky thing on his hands called the church, which eventually he has to get off the earth so he can go back to plan A and deal with national Israel. It makes a complete jumble and a complete tangle of the scriptures. And it violates what the church has always confessed. We believe that he will come to judge the living and the dead, whose kingdom will have no end. So yes, Pastor Wolf Miller was talking about one event.
This comes from Jonathan. He says, I'm looking for good sources relevant to the Genesis account of creation. If the firmament is a solid shell, as my professors are telling me, what do we lose in terms of the revelatory intentions of God vis-a-vis the Bible?
I'm not quite sure what the question means. I know that there are some who, when they're reading the Genesis account, either by way of criticizing the Genesis account, saying, look how stupid that is, we'll say that the Genesis account teaches that there's a solid shell of water or something originally created over the sky. It's not what it says. The firmament is called the sky, and there's water above the firmament, and then there's water below the firmament. The water above the firmament is, well, it falls. Today we had rainfall. The last 2 days here in the St. Louis area, we had rainfall. That was water above the firmament making its way below the firmament. And this isn't rocket science. This is just a actually pretty accurate way of describing how God divided things in the original creation. Now, your professor might be doing that by way of kind of mocking the Genesis account. That's what I'm not clear about in your question. Or he might be one of these Christians that tends to read this as, yeah, there was this solid shell, and then when the flood happened, that water all fell in 40 days and then flooded the earth. That's fine if that's what he's saying there. I don't think that is what the force of the text requires. I think the force of the text requires that there's simply water above the sky, that there is water in the skies and that there's water below. And that when it falls, it's rain. Suffice it to say, those who, and this is sadly a practice among Christians, who they want to play fast and loose with the Genesis account. They want to say, it's not a scientific treatment of the creation. Well, it's about as scientific as you get in terms of describing the actual events that occurred. Granted, it's not written for scientists. It's not written like a scientific paper. Is any of the Bible written that way? That seems a rather ludicrous way of approaching the Bible, to say, well, it's not a scientific text. Of course it isn't. But is it accurate to the events it describes? Sure, it is. It's accurate to the events it describes. 6 days. On the seventh day, he rested, dividing the land from the sea, dividing the night from the day, populating the earth with its creatures, the sky with birds, the sea with all of the creatures that lived there, creating man in his image. All those things are completely accurate to what they describe. It's not mythical. It may not be in the kind of scientific accuracy that we expect from a laboratory description of an experiment or something like that, but why would you expect that when God is simply trying to tell us how he did what he did? And be sure of this, the Genesis account is an accurate description in every detail of how God did what he did when he made the heavens and the earth. More your email on the other side of the break. It's Friday, September the 9th. We're going through listener email. Then Pastor Chris Rosebro joins us. We'll be looking at preaching opinions rather than scripture during This Week in Pop American Christianity. And we'll play Issues Etc. Soundbite of the Week.
Memoria Press invites all Issues Etc. listeners to explore our Simply Classical curriculum, a set of full-year academic curriculum packages for children with learning challenges. Our classical writing program and our Christian studies are now based on your favorite CPH Bible storybooks. To learn more, visit classicalspecialneeds.com and use promo code LPR to save on your initial purchase. That's classicalspecialneeds.com.
Holy Cross Evangelical Lutheran Church, Albany, Oregon, is a mid-Willamette Valley LCMS congregation where the liturgy lives and God's people worship as one, with sound biblical doctrine, weekly communion, and a clear confession of Christ crucified for the sin of the world. Please join us at 2515 Queen Avenue Southeast or visit our website at www.holycrosslutheranalbany.org.
In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit.
Listen to chapel services live, weekday mornings from Concordia Theological Seminary in Fort Wayne, Indiana. Morning Chapel from Kramer Chapel. Live, weekday mornings at 9 Central, 10 Eastern, 8 Mountain, and 7 Pacific at issuesetc.org.
Does your confessional Lutheran nonprofit or church need a new website? Let WordSites help you for free. WordSites is a volunteer-led group of technology and marketing gurus who have come together to help their fellow Lutherans. With the support of an effective website, you can clearly proclaim Christ and Him crucified to the digital world that we live in. To submit your organization for consideration or to learn more, visit WordSites.org. WordSites, your confessional Lutheran website, reformed.
Confessional Lutherans, we've got your back. You're listening to Issues Etc.
Metro East Lutheran High School in Edwardsville, Illinois, engages young adults in a Christ-centered environment, delivering academic excellence and spiritual growth to develop Christian leaders for tomorrow. We provide a Christ-focused alternative to public high schools. Many of our students receive tuition assistance. To help us provide tuition assistance to more students, go to melhs.org and click on the giving page, or call me, Dr. J. Krause, principal, at 618-656-0043.
Your pastor has been called to shepherd you as a member of Christ's flock. Doxology offers an innovative program of advanced study retreats where your pastor can be refreshed, renewed, and refocused. Find out more at doxology.us. Many pastors report that doxology has been one of the most valuable learning experiences since seminary. Doxology, the Lutheran Center for Spiritual Care and Counsel. Doxology.us. Doxology.us.
He's simply obsolete, that he's gone, dead, buried. If you're a forward-thinking person in any way, you recognize that as a fact. But it is not a fact.
To some degree, she beat Gloria Steinem but lost to Madonna and lost to MTV.
On the one hand, I'm doing everything I need to do and God must be proud of me. And then most of the time on the other hand, oh boy, God must be upset because of my failures. And this pendulum of pride and despair is an unease, an unrest.
Well, the real thing is what's in your heart, spiritual things, not these external things we do. And Luther is turning that on its ear and saying the outward things are how God works in our lives.
Just a taste of the four sound bites we're going to play for you about an hour from now. When we play Issues Etc. Soundbite of the Week, we'll play those four sound bites. Then you give us a call, 1-877-623-MY-IE. Send your vote via email, talkback@issuesetc.org, or via Twitter, @IssuesETC. You can vote at our Facebook fan page right now, facebook.com/IssuesETC. We'll also be giving away the LPR bundle package, which is an I Have Issues t-shirt, an Issues Etc. travel mug, pen, bumper sticker, and notepad to the listener with the best vote during Issues Etc. Soundbite of the Week.
Speaking of the Issues Etc. travel mug, Roberta in California, she recently won Issues Etc. Soundbite of the Week, and she sent an email earlier this week. I want to tell you how much I love the travel mug. I filled it this morning with coffee, and it almost lasted me until we arrived at church. After the sermon and divine service, my husband filled it for me again. It lasted throughout Sunday school. No mess, no spills. The coffee stays hot, too. Those are really great. So that's just one reason why you should participate in Issues Etc. Soundbite of the Week.
I know people who've had those mugs for years and years. I mean, the writing that is on the outside, the logo and everything completely worn off, and they still use them. So we should say that's the only way people get the LPR bundle package or one of those travel mugs. There's only one of two ways. They can either come by and visit us here at the studio, or they can play Issues Etc. Soundbite of the Week. And we give away not only that, but the I Have Issues t-shirt and the Issues Etc. The travel mug, pen, bumper sticker, and notepad, right?
That's right.
We don't have mouse pads anymore, do we?
No more mouse pads.
No more mouse pads.
There's one back there, but it's being used with some coffee stains, I believe.
And all you got to do is vote and have the best vote for Issues Etc. Soundbite of the Week.
David writes, why wasn't the Athanasian Creed adopted by the church? Since it wasn't adopted, why would Concordia Publishing House put it in the front of their book, Lutheranism 101?
Well, that's a good question. First of all, it's to deal with why Concordia Publishing House would put it in any book, much less Lutheranism 101. Well, because the Athanasian Creed, which is one of the three ecumenical creeds of the church, the Apostles, the Nicene, and the Athanasian Creed, those three are not universally recognized. They're not condemned by anyone, but they're not universally recognized in the church. I'll get to that in a second. But they are by Lutherans. The Lutheran Confessions, the Book of Concord, the very first thing that they list as the things that they believe, teach, and confess are the three ecumenical creeds, the Apostles' Creed, the Athanasian Creed, the Nicene Creed. So the reason that they're in a book on Lutheranism 101 is because they are in the confessional documents of Lutheranism from the 16th century. Now, if you only want to talk about Lutherans, that's as adopted as you get. The rest of the church may or may not have adopted the Athanasian Creed, but the Lutheran Church from the very beginning, from the time of the Reformation, has explicitly adopted the Athanasian Creed as one of its confessions of faith. And when it does that saying, this is what all Christians everywhere ought to believe. Not just Lutherans, but all Christians everywhere. So that's why it's in any kind of Lutheran book, because it's in the Lutheran confessions. Now, the fact of the matter is that with the exception of Eastern Orthodoxy, the Athanasian Creed has been universally accepted by way of its use. I don't think any council ever said, here's the Athanasian Creed, we adopt this, or we promulgate it for the church's use, as was done with the Apostles' Creed in one form and the Nicene Creed in a very clear way over the course of several church councils. But that's really neither here nor there. The Western Church has used the Athanasian Creed in one form or another since it's been around. Historically, it's difficult to tell how long it's been around exactly in its present form, but it's been around. It has been accepted as a faithful exposition of the Christian faith. Eastern Orthodoxy, the Eastern wing of the church, doesn't repudiate the Athanasian Creed or even what it teaches, with one small exception, but has not brought it into its use, its liturgical use, the same way that the Western Church has. Several reasons for that. One is probably its lateness in its authorship, but the other one has to do with it includes a little phrase, "and the Son," when it talks about the procession of the Holy Spirit, just like the Nicene Creed does. And for that reason, they probably didn't adopt it for liturgical use. Not that they repudiate what it teaches, but that they, the Orthodox are wary about anything new whatsoever. So the reason that they are uncomfortable with the way the Western Church says the Nicene Creed, with that he proceeds from the Father and the Son, is because they considered that "and the Son" to be an addition to the original text of the Creed. And they said, we don't want to do that. So they use the Nicene Creed. They just don't say "and the Son." In the case of the Athanasian Creed, they just simply, it never got around to being adopted into their liturgical use very widely. But for the vast majority of Christians, since it has existed, it has been regarded as a faithful creed of the church, and it certainly belongs in Lutheran books because we affirm wholeheartedly, unequivocally, what the Athanasian Creed teaches, and it has, from the very time of the Reformation, been set forth explicitly as one of our statements of the Christian faith for Lutherans for all time.
All right, we got about 10 minutes for Pastor Chris Roseborough comes on. Let's see if we can do rapid-fire email.
Okay.
Janet, she listens in Livonia, Michigan. The words for shepherd of tender youth may be second century, but the music isn't. I would like to hear some actual second century music when you promote Lutheran public radio. I don't know about the rest of your examples, but I looked up shepherd of tender youth because it didn't sound second century to me. Sorry to be so picky, writes Janet.
Well, Lutheran Public Radio, our 24/7 music station, and we do boast music from every century of the church year, of the church history. When we say that we have music from the second century, what we're really talking about there is the text of the hymns. So,
in good Lutheran fashion, the text is
The music
of primary
is irrelevant.
Well, it's not irrelevant, but it's of primary importance is the text, right?
It's of primary importance, and the music is irrelevant in this way, Jeff. The tune that goes with Shepherd of Tender Youth may from the second century have been one thing, and in the fourth century another thing, and now another thing, and 100 years from now they may be singing it to a different tune, but the text will still be with us, and it'll still be second century. So it's not relevant in the same way the text is. So the tune will change. I have no idea what the original tune of Shepherd of Tender Youth was, and I don't know if anybody does. And in any case, we wouldn't have a second century recording of it. That doesn't make a lot of sense, since recording technology didn't come along until much, much later. What we're talking about when we talk about church music from the various centuries are the texts of those hymns. And look, this is something about Lutheran Public Radio that you simply need to understand. If you're just a music aficionado and you just love the music, you'll enjoy it. But what we are trying to do is, which is why we try as often as we can to keep the texts of the hymns in the vernacular, in English, so that people can understand the texts, try to choose those settings of hymns that are most easily understood in their texts, because the church music exists for the sake of the word, not for the sake of your music appreciation.
Les in Estes Park, Colorado, that's where he listens. He says, I see Dr. Ken Sherb is back on Issues, Etc. Thank you, thank you, thank you. I enjoy his series on Luther. I love Issues, Etc. and enjoy the program every night.
Yeah, we had him back for, he kind of surprised us. We thought we were going to have an hour on Luther and his preaching on the Sermon on the Mount, but he gave us about a half hour on that, and it was great to have him back as well. It really is, and I've said this before, what we're really doing with Dr. Sherb leading into the 500th anniversary of the Lutheran Reformation in 2017 is a radio master's class on the Reformation. If you have or if you listen from beginning to end to this now, 36 parts we have so far, and probably we're going to get to somewhere in the neighborhood of 100 maybe by the time we're done, of this series, you will have learned more about the Reformation than any pastor ever learned during their 4 years in the seminary. I guarantee you, in greater detail, and really taught by someone who is, I mean, what do you say about Ken Sherb in terms of his ability to teach history? He's simply one of the very best at doing that. And I'm benefiting from it. I'm learning things that I never would have learned. I'm not faulting seminary education, by the way, because they can't teach it in that kind of depth, but we can. So that's what we're offering here is this master's class on Martin Luther and the Reformation with Dr. Ken Sherb over the course of this long, long series that we're doing with him.
Earl is, he lives in Clovis, New Mexico. I'm very happy to once again have the Morning Chapel from Kramer Chapel Services as a podcast. It's great to listen as I drive cross country in the 18-wheeler.
Oh, that's nice. Another truck driver who enjoys one of the things that we offer here at Issues, etc. When they have chapel at Concordia Theological Seminary in Fort Wayne, Indiana, we are carrying it both live on our live stream at issuesetc.org, and we also podcast it week by week at issuesetc.org. If you look there, you will find a link to Kramer Chapel. I think there's a picture of Kramer Chapel. You click on that, and you'll find a page that's devoted to this week's chapel services that you can listen to on demand.
This is a common question. The deadline was last Monday, Labor Day, for the conference audio DVD, right? So you can't order it anymore. Sharon got hers, and she says, how do you play the CD? I put it in my Bose player, and I could not play it.
You're looking at me?
Yeah.
Oh, well, that's because it's not a CD. It's a DVD. In order to get 8 hours of audio, which is that's about what we need to cover all of the conference presentations, in order to get 8 hours of audio into some format that people can actually listen to, we had to put it on an audio DVD. So if you put it into a DVD player, it will, in fact, play the audio for you.
And the reason we don't put it on CD, because it would take about 9 CDs to put the entire conference on there, and the cost would go from $300 to probably...
$1,000.
somewhere a little bit higher. Let's see. Kathleen says, you used to do commercials for a website where we can shop for quality gift cards and the like. I just can't remember the name of the site. Can you please remind me, please?
We actually have two.
Well, the one we've always run has been AdCrucem, and that's ADCRUCEM.com. AdCrucem.com is the one she's talking about.
And we're just so happy to have them not only as a sponsor, but the stuff that they turn out is absolutely fantastic. We used to do, remember when we used to do shows on Christmas cards?
Yeah. Well, the secularization of Christmas cards. Yeah,
back in the day, and then we'd have people call in and say, you know, what's the worst Christmas card you got or the worst Christmas card you ever sent? And they'd read this stuff. And most of it.
Do that again.
Go into go into a Christian bookstore and go to the card section at Christmas and just pick one up after another and read what's inside. And think about what Christmas really is and what the message of Christmas ought to be. And you'll be stunned how hollow, how empty, how sickly sweet and sentimental a lot of the stuff is. AdCrucem is actually producing stuff that when you open it, you get the message of Christmas. You get the message of the incarnation of God taking on human flesh to be the sacrifice for the sins of the world in each and every single one of their products. And that's why we are so happy to have them with us.
Joe says, I can't find the website for the volunteer group of Lutheran website developers eagerly awaiting to work on Lutheran websites. What is their web address?
That's a Jeff question.
Wordsites.org. Wordsites.org.
Okay.
And this comes from Connie in Rathdrum, Idaho. I am going to put a link to your site on our webpage, but I can't find a paragraph or two that explains who... what you are. Do you have one that I can use?
Oh, yes, we do.
Well, it's not on our website.
It's not on our website.
It's on our app. We do have it on mobile app, maybe.
Sure. Why don't you forward that to me and I'll send it to her. We do kind of expect that to be somewhat self-explanatory. We usually say talk radio for the thinking Christian. That's our big generic explanation of who we are, or real Reformation radio. If you listen there at the website, or if you go to the website, you'll see talk radio for the thinking Christian, and we've got a bunch of other descriptions of what we actually are, but we'll send that to you. We'll spend a paragraph that will explain in some detail what Issues, etc. and Lutheran Public Radio is.
Hey, you know, we've talked about, we get a lot of criticism about our quote-unquote political shows. We got this from Julie. It's kind of nice to get a nice one. Julie says, thank you so much for having Mark and Molly Hemingway on the show regularly. Molly has been an inspiration to me over the last several months. Her reasoned and articulate approach to balance reporting is a breath of fresh air. When, as an Evangelical Lutheran Church in America college student, I first started dating an Lutheran Church Missouri Synod pastor's son, now my husband, my preconceived notions about LCMS views on women were a stumbling block to our relationship. I only wish that I had heard from Molly, an intelligent, articulate, confessional LCMS woman who takes seriously her vocations in the home and the world at that time. Keep up the great work. That comes from Julie.
Julie, everything you said there is absolutely true about Molly Hemingway and her husband. We are very, very fortunate to have them as guests here on Issues Etc., not only for the reasons that Julie mentioned there, but also because of their expertise as Washington, D.C. area journalists, being able to give us our weekly updates on the November elections. When we come back from this break, Pastor Chris Roseborough, Fighting for the Faith, is going to join us. It's time for This Week in Pop American Christianity. He's got several examples of preaching opinions rather than scripture. Stay tuned.
Our school is committed to authentic Lutheranism, the entire Book of Concord, and indeed to authentic Lutheranism as it has continued to be confessed and practiced through the centuries right up into our own time.
Dr. Cameron McKenzie, chairman of the Department of Historical Theology at Concordia Theological Seminary in Fort Wayne, Indiana.
We're committed then to biblical, confessional Christianity and Lutheranism and applying it to the world of today in as effective a way as we can.
You can find out more about studying for the pastoral ministry at Concordia Theological Seminary, Fort Wayne, Indiana, at ctsfw.edu, ctsfw.edu, or call 1-800-481-2155, Concordia Theological Seminary, Fort Wayne, Indiana.
Casting Christ's net on the internet. You're listening to Issues Etc.
Recently graduated from high school or college and looking for a chance to serve a community in need while sharing the good news of Jesus Christ? Lutheran Young Adult Corps may be for you. Lutheran Young Adult Corps provides opportunities for long-term, full-time service for 10 weeks through the summer or 10 months over the school year in places like St. Louis, Philadelphia, and Boston. Find out more about Lutheran Young Adult Corps by finding us online at lcms.org/YACORPS or on Facebook, Twitter, and Instagram at Lutheran YA Corps.
Do you long for a church where the gospel of the sinner's free justification is front and center, and yet where a robust sacramental life is confessed and lived? Do you long for a church that rejoices in the sacred scriptures as the sole basis for the church's teaching and proclamation, yet values and listens to the witness of the ancient fathers and councils? Welcome to the Lutheran Church. We are what you've been looking for. Find a Christ-centered, cross-focused church near you on the Find the Church page at issuesetc.org.